This is Latitude Longitude. You are listening to WGXC
90.7 FM,
Acre, Catskill, Hudson.
WGXC. Transmission art on air.
Airwaves as art.
WGXE always needs computer donations. If you have an old one you don't need and it is either a Macintosh 2011 or newer, 2.0 gigahertz or faster CPU, dual core or more, or Windows 2012 or newer, 2.4 gigahertz or faster CPU, dual core or more, email info@wgxe.org for more information.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Pat Linnan of Hillsdale, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC. Like good old tap water. Just turn it on and get it.
WGXC FM has closed its Hudson studio, and Wayfarm's Acre location is now closed to the public for an indefinite period of time. We are in virtual office mode with modified hours of operation for staff. All existing equipment and studio reservations, workshops, and gatherings are postponed until further notice. Our physical locations may be closed, but WGXE still wants to hear from you. We encourage your communication by email to info@wgxe.org and to WGXE's feedback line, 518-291-9492, where you may leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay.
Tune in to the daily Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report from the River Newsroom from Lissa Harris of The River and Roger Hannigan-Gilson of the Other Hudson Valley website. You can go to the rivernewsroom.com and the otherhudsonvalley.com websites for more information. Tune in to the River Newsroom's Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report every night at midnight at WGXC, also at 5 a.m., 7 a.m., and 9 a.m. for all the latest reports about COVID-19 regulations, new laws, new mandates. There'll be interviews with political officials and more on the River Newsroom's Hudson Valley Coronavirus Report, weekdays on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Good afternoon, good late afternoon. I'm Kevin Factor, and I have got no useful information today. Nothing to really share other than some music and some perhaps sardonic comments.
Clean out the yards, cut that big bull down, but we'll still be around to fight one day more, one day more. If the company holds out 20 years, we'll hold out one day more. One day more, one day more. If the company holds out 20 years, we'll hold out one day more. We've got to change the
so
way
I,
things are.
So I put out the call and Facebook and the usual social media and see where people were, what they were doing all over the country and the world, and I got some interesting responses. Seems everybody's cooking a lot, and all the cooking stories sort of remind me of that scene in Goodfellas where all the mobsters are in jail instead of government, and they're thinly slicing garlic with a razor blade, and people are connecting with their families and hoarding things. The supermarkets seem to have gone, well, if you've been out, you know, sort of full apocalyptic mode with 20-pound bags of rice and beans on pallets in the aisle, along with bottled water. I don't know why people think all of a sudden the water is not going to work, but I don't know. And some guy in a tan Lexus apparently believes that the traffic laws and regulations have been suspended because he made a right turn onto Warren Street, and he did not signal. So, I don't know. It's not quite anarchy. I have noticed that the big winners in this crisis seem to be dogs and Mick Mulvaney. Mick Mulvaney, so happy he's not in the White House right now. Dogs are making out like bandits. From Spain, I heard from an old friend, Belen, who said that one of the only ways that you can go out is to walk your dog. And everybody's got a dog, and there's memes going around with people walking stuffed dogs. And another thing Belen said that they're doing in Spain, and Spain is on serious lockdown. The military's in the street. But every evening, they stand out at 8 o'clock and applaud the healthcare workers and the doctors, and they sing them songs. So the people of Spain or Madrid and their cities are really coming together, and it's nice to hear, nice to hear. In Australia, I heard from an old high school friend, Claire, and the Victoria government, where she is, says they're handling it pretty well, but they just dealt with brush fires, as has Northern California, so they're just getting back on their feet from that, and then boom, this thing hits. And supermarket shelves in Australia are getting back to a new, quote, quarter-empty normal. And then new regulations came in on Friday there, where everyone's supposed to be in a 2-meter by 2-meter bubble. But their schools have remained open. Don't know how that's going to work. Same in Tennessee. Heard from Matt. Tennessee seems to not be taking this quite as seriously as the harder hit states like New York and California. Churches remain open. People seem to be going about their business. A lot of people still believe it's a hoax. Those schools have been closed. And I'm going to play a little recording from an old colleague and friend of mine, Josh Hatala, who is on holiday now from his teaching gig at Emma Willard School. Josh has a very thoughtful, very apropos bit of wisdom literature that he had been mulling over. And I read this piece in Medium.com, and it was worth sharing with all of you. So here's Josh Hatala.
This past week, I've been thinking a lot about the Buddhist story of Kisa Gotami. Kisa Gotami, the legend goes, was grief-stricken, perhaps even mad, after the death of her young child, her only son. Who wouldn't be? Those who have experienced unnatural deaths, deaths that come too soon, too quickly, or unexpectedly, can be left shocked in a stupor. 15 years ago, last week, when I was 25 years old, I sat alone at the bedside of my 47-year-old mother as she passed away after a nearly 3-year bout with a brain tumor. Though I knew death was imminent and had psychologically girded myself for this unavoidable reality, the moment of death's arrival was too much to bear. Like the glossolalia of the apostles on Pentecost, whose earthly faculties were unable to contain the power of the Holy Spirit, the otherworldly terror of being face to face with my mother's death tore through me, enveloping me. I stumbled from her hospice room down the hospital hall, shaking and unable to speak until a nurse found me, and I finally blurted out, through tears, like one learning to speak, "She's gone." In that moment, like Kisa Gotami, I'd gone a bit mad. And, like Kisa Gotami, the pain lasted. C.S. Lewis, in his book A Grief Observed, written after the death of his wife, captured well the weeks that followed my mother's death. "No one ever told me that grief felt so like fear," Lewis wrote. "I am not afraid, but the sensation is like being afraid. The same fluttering in the stomach, the same restlessness, the yawning. I keep on swallowing. At other times, it feels like being mildly drunk or concussed. There is a sort of invisible blanket between the world and me. Grief feels like fear." In the weeks that followed my mother's death, I came across the 1955 film Odette by Danish director Carl Theodor Dreyer. In this beautifully shot film, a Christ-like figure raises a woman from the dead in 20th century Denmark. I began to have dreams of the same for my mother. 4 months later, I was in Greece, visiting the small island of Aegina, praying at the tomb of St. Nectarius for some kind of heavenly intervention, a reversal of time, a resurrection, a waking from this dream that I found myself unable to bear or accept. I knew that each of these prayers was entirely irrational, beyond irrational, perhaps veering into the realm of delusion and psychosis. "I understand what grief can do," Kisa Gotami, "I do. And you lost a child." Kisa Gotami was advised to find Shakyamuni, the Buddha. She said to the Buddha, "Lord and Master, give me the medicine that will cure my boy." The Buddha answered, "I want a handful of mustard seed." And when the girl in her joy promised to procure it, the Buddha added, "The mustard seed must be taken from a house where no one has lost a child, husband, parent, or friend." Poor Kisa Gotami now went from house to house, and the people pitied her and said, "Here is a mustard seed, take it." But when she asked, "Did a son or daughter, a father or mother, die in your family?" they answered her, "Alas, the living are few, but the dead are many. Do not remind us of our deepest grief." And there was no house but some beloved one had died in it. Kisa Gotami became weary and hopeless and sat down at the wayside, watching the lights of the city as they flickered up and were extinguished again. At last, the darkness of the night reigned everywhere, and she considered the fate of men, that their lives flicker up and are extinguished. And she thought to herself, "How selfish am I in my grief? Death is common to all, yet in this valley of desolation, there is a path that leads him to immortality who has surrendered all selfishness." When I first heard this story in the years after my mother's death, I felt nothing. It brought no consolation. In fact, I recoiled from the thought of it, interpreting its message as cold and callous. Possessing an intellectual understanding of the inevitability of death did little to assuage my sorrow. Yes, I know we all die. No, that doesn't help me feel any differently about it. Here's what I failed to understand but have grown to see. It took Kisa Gotami's interaction with those in grief, those who had lost, to internalize the message. She was face to face with that human grief. She saw the pain written on the faces of the poor villagers. She looked into their eyes as they told, one after another, a universal story of loss. The Buddha could have simply reminded her, "Kisa Gotami, we all die. It's a universal fact of life." But he didn't. He sent her out to see the villagers face to face. And in the space of that intimacy, realization dawned. From that realization, compassion for all the suffering of the world sprang forth. I believe it was the birth of that compassion for a universally suffering humanity, her own humanity very much included, that finally brought her relief. This moment is historic. We are facing the real possibility of millions of deaths around the world. The cold calculus of rationing care, of allocating limited resources to the young and the productive, is quickly taking shape as doctors prepare to make dreadful decisions. Decades of neglect of the commons under neoliberal economic policy are coming to light, and the fault lines in a declining empire are becoming exposed. In the midst of this, we see acts of kindness and community solidarity, email lists and Facebook groups for mutual aid, my elderly neighbor, Charlene, who only purchased one box of tissues when just three were left on the shelf because, to quote her, others will need them, and the way friends and family are extending themselves to each other in this time. This is a moment of universal suffering. While the rich and powerful will find ways to insulate themselves against the worst of it, and the poor will inevitably suffer more, there is no absolute escape from the possibility that one might be exposed to this virus. At times, the all-pervasive nature of this crisis brings me to a place of absolute dread. For myself, for my immunocompromised wife, for the elderly and infirm, for those who will die unnecessarily from our nation's lack of preparedness. But it is in the all-pervasive nature of this crisis that I am also finding solace. The universality of the moment at times draws compassion from me. The recognition that we were all in this together, in a web of mutual dependency that is material and spiritual in nature, brings relief. You are suffering just like I am suffering. You fear like I fear. We must be humble. We must humble ourselves to that shared reality. I'm not special, and that's liberating. But as was the case with Kisa Gotami, these moments of compassion that bring relief from dread are most deeply felt when we reach out to others, in conversations with our neighbors, in contributing materially to support the vulnerable, in trying to be especially good to our partners and those in our homes who share our fears. Myopic self-interest diminishes our humanity. The opposite, of course, is also true. Compassion, which literally means to suffer together for others, broadens it and, almost counterintuitively, frees us from the prison of our small selves.
Sitting here in limbo, but I know it won't be long. Sitting here in limbo, like a bird without a song. Well, they're putting up resistance, but I know that my faith will lead me on. Sitting here in limbo, waiting for the dice to roll. Sitting here in limbo, got some time to search my soul. Well, they're putting up resistance, but I know that my faith will lead me on. I don't know. Loving
sitting here in limbo, waiting for the tide to flow. Sitting here in limbo, knowing that I have to go. Well, they're putting up resistance, but I know that my fate will lead me on. I can't say what life will show me, but I know what I've seen. I can't say where. All that is past and gone. This little boy is moving on. Sitting here in limbo, waiting for the tide to flow. Sitting.
So you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. Hudson, Acre, Catskill. And I'm Kevin Factor, and this is Foraging Ahead. And I'm just playing some pandemic music, music that just seemed to fit for me. Hopefully it fits for you. How are we going to survive this? As Josh Hatala said, that we are in a moment of sort of universal suffering, and it has opened up people in ways that are both terrible and wonderful, and it gives you a little faith in your fellow human being. Of course, there's a lot of parents stuck at home with their kids, and they will be, and they're wondering how they're going to educate their children, and well, for them, I've got a couple of songs. The first one is actually written by my own boy, and it's sort of an introduction to ethical philosophy, and then I'm going to follow that up with Tom Lehrer. This is the ethical philosophy song.
Every day a treasure, what the Greeks called euphemonia. And John Mills was thrilled by a principle of utility, founded on the fact that we like pleasure more than pain. Promote the public welfare to the best of your ability, even if it means some guy gets hit by a train. But don't get weighed down by Hedonic calculus. Bentham is just bent on maximizing all our happiness. Who's this as an axiom of what is right and wrong. Every action has a list of potential pros and cons. And if you're like Kant, you'll want to flaunt your thoughts out on theology, or just assume like him that morals don't really exist. Try Kierkegaard and disregard morals out from theology, or maybe someone else that's not a white dude from the West.
Some of you who have small children may have perhaps been put in the embarrassing position of being unable to do your child's arithmetic homework because of the current revolution in mathematics teaching known as the new math. So as a public service here tonight, I thought I would offer a brief lesson in the new math tonight. We're going to cover subtraction. This is the first room I've worked for a while. It didn't have a blackboard, so we will have to make do with more primitive visual aids, as they say in the ed biz. Consider the following subtraction problem, which I will put up here. 342 minus 173. Now, remember how we used to do that. 3 from 2 is 9, carry the 1. And if you're under 35 or went to a private school, you say 7 from 3 is 6. But if you're over 35 and went to a public school, you say 8 from 4 is 6. And carry the 1, so we have 169. But in the new approach, as you know, the important thing is to understand what you're doing rather than to get the right answer. Here's how they do it now. You can't take 3 from 2. 2 is less than 3, so you look at the 4 in the tens place. Now that's really 4 tens, so you make it 3 tens. Regroup, and you change a 10 to 10 ones, and you add them to the 2 and get 12, and you take away 3. That's 9. Is that clear? Now instead of 4 in the tens place, you've got 3 because you added 1, that is to say 10, to the 2. But you can't take 7 from 3, so you look in the hundreds place. From the 3, you then use 1 to make 10 ones, and you know why 4 plus minus 1 plus 10 is 14 minus 1, because addition is commutative, right? And so you got 13 tens, and you take away 7, and that leaves 5. Well, 6, actually, but the idea is the important thing. Now go back to the hundreds place. You're left with 2, and you take away 1 from 2, and that leaves... Everybody get 1? Not bad for the first day. Hooray for new math! New math! It won't do you a bit of good to read new math. It's so simple, so very simple, that only a child can do it. Now that actually is not the answer that I had in mind. Because the book that I got this problem out of wants you to do it in base 8. But don't panic. Base 8 is just like base 10, really, if you're missing 2 fingers. Shall we have a go at it? Hang on. You can't take 3 from 2. 2 is less than 3, so you look at the 4 in the 8's place. Now that's really 4 8's, so you make it 3 8's. Regroup, and you change an 8 to 8 1's, and you add to the 2, and you get 1 2 base 8, which is 10 base 10, and you take away 3. That's 7. Okay? Now instead of 4 in the 8's place, you've got 3 because you added 1, that is to say 8, to the 2. But you can't take 7 from 3, so you look at the 64's. 64. How did 64 get into it? I hear you cry. Well, 64 is 8 squared, don't you see? When you ask a silly question, you get a silly answer. From the 3, you then use 1 to make 8 1's. You add those 1's to the 3, and you get 1 3 base 8. Or in other words, in base 10, you have 11, and you take away 7, and 7 from 11 is 4. Now go back to the 64's. You're left with 2, and you take away 1 from 2, and that leaves... Now let's not always see the same hands. One, that's right. Whoever got 1 can stay after the show and clean the erasers. Hooray for new math! New math! It won't do you a bit of good to review math. It's so simple, so very simple, that only a child can do it. Come back tomorrow night. We're gonna do fractions.
All right, that was... Tom Lehrer, for all you parents out there homeschooling all of a sudden, and that was my own boy previously with a brief overview of the history of ethical philosophy. So how do we respond to this crisis in a macro macro level, or at a macro level, I should say. Well, there certainly is precedent, and there are songs for this. I heard it going around on the social media that if you want to get tested for COVID-19, you need to cough in the face of somebody who has money or power. There's a quicker and easier way to do it, and this was demonstrated ages ago, back during the Reagan administration, which in many ways has led us to this point. Here's a Tom Paxton tune sung by Arlo Guthrie.
Oh, the price of gold is rising out of sight, and the dollar is in sorry shape tonight. What the dollar used to get us now won't buy a head of lettuce. No, the economic forecast didn't write. But amidst the clouds, I spot a shining ray. I can even glimpse a new and better way. And I've devised a plan of action, worked it down to the last fraction, and I'm going into action here today. I am changing my name to Chrysler. I am going down to Washington, D.C. I will tell some power broker what they did. Iacocca will be perfectly acceptable to me. I am changing my name to Chrysler. I am heading for that great receiving line. So when they hand a million grand out, I'll be standing with my hand out. Yes, sir, I'll get mine. When my creditors are screaming for their dough, I'll be proud to tell them all where they can go. They won't have to scream and holler. They'll be paid to the last dollar, where the endless streams of money seem to flow. I'll be glad to tell them all what they can do. It's a matter of a simple form or two. It's not just remuneration, it's a liberal education. Ain't you kinda glad that I'm in debt to you? 'Cause I'm changing my name to Chrysler. I'm going down to Washington, D.C. I will tell some power broker what they did. Iacocca will be perfectly acceptable to me. I am changing my name to Chrysler. I am headed for that great receiving line. So when they hand a million grand out, I'll be the first amphibians crawled out of the slime. I love that line a whole lot. Even if Tom didn't write the rest of the song, it'd be worth it just for that line. Let's just do it again for me. You can sing along too. It's when the first, since the first amphibians crawled out of the slime of the slime. Goes like that. Since the first amphibians crawled out of the slime, we've been struggling in an unrelenting climb. We were hardly up and walking before money started talking, and it's sad that failure is an awful crime. Well, it's been that way for a millennium or two, but now it seems that there's a different point of view. If you're a corporate Titanic and your failure is gigantic, down in Congress there's a safety net for you. So I'm changing my name to Chrysler. I am going down to Washington, D.C. I will tell some power broker what they did. My Coca will be perfectly acceptable to me. Receiving line. So when they hand a million grand out, I'll be standing with my hand out. Yes, sir, I'll get mine. So when they hand a million grand out, I'll be standing with my hand out. Yes, sir, I'll get mine.
All right, that was Arlo Guthrie from Precious Friends, an old album, came out in the early 80s, song by Tom Paxton, I Am Changing My Name to Chrysler, which is a great way to get money, though now there's a lot of other companies that you could change your name to, but hurry, do it now, because I think all the airline companies' names are going to be taken. So how are you getting through this? People have been telling me you need to make lists. You know, make a list of things and set yourself a schedule. Set yourself a schedule for the day, you know, so you know what day it is. And, you know, and especially if you have kids, you're going to want to, you know, just have regular times for regular things and just keep it normal, right? I made a list, and like the list was fix stuff. I only had the one thing on the list, but then someone said, you know, that's not really useful. You need to be a little more specific. So I thought about it, and I knew that she was right. Fix stuff is just too general. So I just added, and it was a simple solution. I added fix stuff that's broken.
Green Preservation Society. God save the duck, Bonneville and variety. We are the Desperate Dan Appreciation Society. God save strawberry jam and all the different varieties. Preserving the old ways from being abused. Protecting the new ways for me and for you. What more can we do? We are the Draft Beer Preservation Society. God save Mrs. Moss and good old Mother Riley. We are the Custard Pie Appreciation Consortium. God save the George Cross and all those who were loving them. Sherlock Holmes, English-speaking vernacular. Help save Fu Manchu, Moriarty and Dracula. We are the office block, persecution affinity. God save the little shops, China cups and virginity. We are the skyscraper, condemnation affiliates. God save Tudor houses, antique tables and millions. Serving the old ways from being abused. Protecting the new ways for me and for you. What more can we do? We are the Village Green Preservation Society. God save Donald Duck, Bonneville and variety. We are the Desperate Dan Appreciation Society. God save strawberry jam.
Secretaries feel better. see some office boys there jumping for joy. Tell old Mr. Ahern, I'm down a while. You know, that's the only way the center is ever gonna get better. So, let's rock a rock a rock a long stop tonight. At the government center, make the secretaries feel better. Well, they'll put the stamps on the letter. Gonna make them feel better. All look out. We're gonna help them out. Take all our equipment. Do rock and roll. That's right. It's that feeling we have inside. We're gonna transmit. The secretaries will have to stand up and not feel sick. Oh, it's gonna be fun. Oh, we won't get scared if we can't keep down. Oh, that feeling inside. We're gonna transmit it to life, baby.
All right, Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers, Government Center. Shout out to all the essential government workers who are doing what they do, and also for the essential workers who are working in the supermarkets, for crying out loud. You guys are great. You should get more money. This might be a good time to ask for that. So, songs of government response and sort of community organizing. I'm thinking we're going to move on to other disasters that humanity has sung about. As my old friend Karen Falcone said, this is the time that poets, writers, and musicians and artists were made for. Something good will come of this. But first, a song by Macbeth the Great. It's kind of about, I don't know if it's about Wall Street or the market down the road.
He's stone cold dead in the market. He's stone cold dead in the market. Well, if he's stone cold dead in the market, I ain't kill nobody but me husband.
Stone cold dead in the market. Stone cold dead in the market.
Well, if he's stone cold dead in the market,
I ain't kill nobody but my husband.
Well, look, I lash him with the pot and the frying pan. I lick him with the pot and the frying pan. Well, if I lick him with the pot and the frying pan, and if I kill him, he had it coming. Oh,
he's stone cold dead in the market. Stone cold dead in the market.
Well, look, he's
stone cold dead in the market. She killed nobody but her husband.
Last night I went out drinking. When I came home, he gave me a beating. Believe me, friends, I doesn't care if they set me down on the electric chair. Oh, Lord, look how he's
stone cold dead in the market. Stone cold dead in the market. Stone cold dead in the market. I kill nobody but my husband.
Oh, look, the family, they swearing to kill me. The family, they swearing to kill me. Well, look, the family swearing to kill me. And if I kill him, he had it coming. Oh,
he's stone cold dead in the market. Stone cold dead in the market. He's stone cold dead in the market. I ain't kill nobody but my husband.
Oh, pain dead, he's stone dead. Pain dead, he's stone dead. And he pain dead, he's stone dead. And if I kill him, he's my husband.
Oh, he's stone cold dead in the market. Stone cold dead in the market.
One thing that I ensure, the vagabond he cannot beat me no more. So I catch up the rolling pin and I walk on his head till I bash it in. Oh Lord, look how he's
stone cold dead in the market. Stone cold dead in the market.
Oh, the vagabond is
stone cold dead in the market. I ain't kill nobody but my husband.
All right, that's... That's for everybody who is Corona married. I heard a story, a friend of mine, California, just breaking up with her boyfriend, and he's just about to move out, and now they're quarantined together. Any other time, that'd be great sitcom material. Hopefully, they'll get through this. I mentioned earlier, it's good to have a schedule. You should make yourself a schedule. My schedule the last few days have been pretty strict, from 12 to 12:20. We have breakfast, and then from 12:21 until about 2 o'clock in the morning, it's a flex time. Next up, some songs of people also who have suffered a little bit and somehow, well, some of them got through it, some of them didn't.
Get up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed. Oh, me Israelite, sir. Get up in the morning, slaving for bread, sir, so that every mouth can be fed.
Desmond Dekker, Israelites, they had it tough. And we have it tough, too. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk, I'm sure you've seen it, about, Isaac Newton, you know, in 1665 invented physics while he was, quarantined. And Shakespeare in the early 1600s wrote King Lear and Macbeth and Antony and Cleopatra, you know, during the plagues in London. And, of course, Dante wrote much of his work during the time of contagion in 13th and 14th century Italy. And I would lower the bar a little bit. get something done. But, don't beat yourself up if you haven't written King Lear, by the end of this. You know, if you can, do it. Write the King Lear. But cut yourself a little slack. Mm-hmm.
what has happened down here is the wind had changed. Clouds roll in from the north and it start to rain. Rained real hard to rain for a real long time. 6 feet of water in the streets of Evangeline. River rose all day, the river rose all night. Some people got lost in the flood. Some people got away all right. River has busted through, clear down to Plaquemine. 6 feet of water in the streets of Evangeline.
Newman, Louisiana, 1927. That was rough back then, but it was local. So I've been thinking, I'm sure all of you have, like how this is going to change us in the future. Sort of looking back on this, like our grandchildren, are they going to say, what questions are they going to have about our weird behaviors that we have adopted during this time? You know, are they going to say, you know, why doesn't Grandpa ever touch me? You know, and of course, if you're Swedish, this question might not come up, but you know, if you're other ethnicity, perhaps. And sorry if you're Swedish, I'm just a joke. You know, or like, you know, why does Grandpa always, you know, buy so much toilet paper? Or why do we have a pasta shelter in the backyard? Or, you know, Grandpa, what's a restaurant?
This is how you make yourself vanish into nothing. And this is how you make yourself worthy of the love that she gave to you back when you didn't own a beautiful thing. And this is how you make yourself call your mother. And this is how you make yourself closer to your brother. Remember him back when he was small enough to help you sing. You thought God was an architect. Now you know he's something like a pipe bomb ready to blow. And everything you built, it's all for show, goes up in flames in 24 frames. We'll be right back.
this is how you see yourself floating on the ceiling, and this is how you help her when her heart stops beating. What happened to the party? You didn't notice every changing wind. And this is how you talk to her.
Little Jason Isbell, formerly of the Drive-By Truckers, amazing songwriter. Wonderful song, 24 Frames. Thank you all for spending a little bit of time with me in this lonely studio. And WGXE, Acra, Catskill, Hudson, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. Aren't you happy that this station is on the air right now? I mean, maybe not right now, but maybe after my show, something good will come on. I was going to play something that kind of reminded me that times are changing. Times are changing, and this is just a relic. This song is just a relic, and it's an awful relic, and some things are better off not resurrected. So here's an awful relic, which is just meaningless trifle, but I loved it when I was 10. You know, it's even more awful than I thought. Here, we're going to go out with The Clash because this is appropriate.